We're going to turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians on chapter 11. I'm just going to read the specific verses that I'm preaching on this morning, which are verses 7, 8, 9 and 10 of 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11, verse 7 then. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause, or for this reason, ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Amen. And God will bless the reading of this portion of his inspired word. So here we are again in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. This passage that is all about God's order of headship in verse 3 and the outward signs of agreement or disagreement with God's order of headship in verses 4 to 6. In the public worship of the church, a man with his head uncovered is an outward visible sign of agreement with God's order of headship in verse 3. In the public worship of the church, a woman with her head covered is an outward visible sign of agreement with God's order of headship in verse 3 as well. But a man with his head covered, or a woman with her head uncovered in the public worship of the church, is a visible sign of disagreement with God's order of headship in verse 3. The Greek word dishonors, by the way, dishonors her head or dishonors his head, means it's a shame and a disgrace. And I want you also to remember that last week the sign, the outward visible sign, is connected with the teaching, the doctrine. Head uncovered for a man equals agreement with God's order of headship. Head covered for a woman equals agreement with God's order of headship. The sign is connected with the doctrine. Head covered, headship. Head uncovered, headship. It's connected. The sign is connected. We looked last week at a few of the other signs that people try and make up today and say, well, oh, a wedding ring is just the same thing. A wedding ring is nothing to do with it's not a sign of agreement with God's order of headship. A wedding ring is a sign that you're married. A husband is not his wife's head covering, because all women pray. All Christian women pray, and all Christian women do not have head covering. It says every woman that prays. So it's nothing to do with a husband. A husband is not his wife's head covering, nor is he the outward sign, nor is a wedding ring. Because the sign must be connected with the doctrine. It must be a head covering to agree with headship. Now, we concluded last week that in public worship in the church, a woman should wear a head covering. And that is the plain teaching of the scripture. And I have talked with ministers about this. I have preached this in the midweek before. I have asked people, can you give me any other outward sign? And I have yet to have anybody ever come to me and try and make another sign. There are people that disagree, but they don't have a reason for disagreeing. They just are stubborn. They don't have a reason, an intellectual, theological reason as to why they don't. They're just plain stubborn. If you've got another idea, I want to hear it. You come and talk to me about it. But it's the plain teaching of the Bible, and that's my argument, that in public worship women should wear a head covering. And I haven't heard any arguments to the contrary from anyone in this church, or in any other church for that matter. If you missed last week's sermon, you missed a vital plank in the argument of the whole chapter. And you can get the CD which is sitting down there, because I don't have time to recap all the things. Now, this morning, what we're going to look at in verses 7, 8, 9 and 10 is really just one point. We're going to answer one question. Why does God teach this? Okay, it's plain he teaches it. The passage is plain in its reading, but why does God teach this? What reason is there? Why is this in the Bible? Well, the answer as to why the Bible teaches this, or the reason, is found in verses 7 to 10. For. A man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause, for this reason, ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. That little word, for. For is the answer to the question, why does God teach this? What reason is there for? And as far as I can see, there are three reasons given in these verses. Number one, there's the reason of glory or image in verse 7. The second point will be, or the second reason, the order of creation, verses 8 and 9. And the third reason is because of the angels in verse 10. That's the three reasons. So let's go through them. Why is this in the Bible? Number one, because or for of glory, or something to do with glory or image. Verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now, what does the word glory mean? The word glory means outshining. It's frequently in the Bible attributed to the stars and also to God, of course, most. But it's an outshining. It's something that shines out of something. The glory, the outshining. The outshining is almost like a reflection or the image of that person or thing. So where you have an outshining of something, where you have a glory, an outshining, you have it reflected in the image. Now this verse says that a man shouldn't cover his head in the public worship in the church because he is the glory, he is the outshining or the reflection of the image of God, verse 7. Now think about that a little minute. What if a man was to cover his head then? Well, if he's the reflection or the outshine of the glory of the image of God, that would mean that God's glory is being veiled or covered. Wouldn't it? In worship. Now, we know that in the book of Genesis, it says that men and women are made in God's image, both. And that's, of course, correct. The woman is just as much a reflection of the image of God as man. In every area, in knowledge, righteousness, in holiness, in value, in importance, in every area except one. The only sense in which the man, in distinction from the woman, is the image of God is that he represents God's authority. Charles Hodge, that is. The animals were named by Adam, not Eve. So when it comes to God's image, the only area where man is a reflection of God's image and not the woman is in the area of authority or dominion. It's the only distinction, the only area of difference. And I want to ask you, what is the context of 1 Corinthians 11? Headship, God's order of authority and dominion. And in that area, verse 7, the man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. In the area of headship and authority, Christ is the head of the man. And the head of the woman is the man. Charles Hodge says, she is not designed to reflect the glory of God as a ruler. And that is the only area, men and women, where God's image in us differs. The only area. So reason one is, man is a reflection of God's image in the area of headship. So therefore his head is uncovered. But a woman is not the reflection of God in the area of the headship. So her head is therefore covered. And if a man, as I've said a few moments ago, is the image and glory of God, as the verse quite plainly says, then you can't cover that, can you, in the public worship. But if the woman, as the verse says, is the glory of the man, then her head must be covered, because man cannot be glorified in worship. Only God. And the woman is the glory of the man. That's what it says. So man's glory must be covered in public worship. Only God's glory must be revealed. Let me move to the second reason. The second reason why this is in the Bible, or why God sets this order of headship and this outward sign of it, as we see here, but really it's the order of headship. The reason is, second point, the order of creation. Now you see that in verses 8 and 9. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. So you see here in these two verses, verse 8 you've got the order of creation, and verse 9 you've got the purpose of creation. The man was made first. The woman was made out of his rib. Therefore the woman is of the man. Originally in Eden, it's referring to, of course. And the woman was made for the man, it says here. Now, any feminists at this point would hit me with their handbag, because they don't like that at all. They detest that. But you see, where that verse says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man, there's two ways of looking at that. There's two whole different attitudes you can have when you look at that. You can look at that verse, the woman's created for the man. You can look at that in the feminist way and be all offended by it. And you can say, I'm not made for any man. I'm an individual in my own right. You can look at it in the feminist way if you want. But you'll not be a happy bunny. There's another way of looking at it. You can look at it like a normal person. And you can look at it in the ordinary, logical way. You look at men today. Could they make it by themselves? Could they? He wasn't self-sufficient. Even a perfect man in Eden was not self-sufficient. He needed to be dependent upon a woman. That's why Eve was made. And that's why the Bible says that they were married. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She's his glory, like it says there. The woman is the glory of the man. She's a crown to her husband, a virtuous woman. She's his glory, 1 Corinthians 11, 7. She makes him what he is. And we see that, don't we, sometimes? So maybe, I hope you do see it. I see it anyway. Sometimes, and it doesn't normally happen, because God has worked it another way, but sometimes, if a man's wife is taken from him in death, he never gets over it. You ever notice that? It always seems to be harder for men on their own. He's never the same man again. He finds life very hard because, you see, he can't really make it on his own. His glory, his crown is gone. And that's why the Bible says the woman was made for the man. Because man is dependent and in need of help in life. She makes sure his tie is straight and the dandruff is brushed off his collar. She makes sure his hair is not sticking up, because he'd just go out the way he is. He doesn't even notice. You see him looking in the mirror. You don't see that very often. She makes sure he's not wearing two odd socks or shoes for that matter. She makes him what he is. He needs that help in life. But anyway, why headship? Why is this in the Bible? Why this headship and this outward sign of head covering? Because of the order of creation. That's what it says there. The order of creation. Man was made first, therefore he's the head. You may say, why is that? Why does being made first bring headship? Well, you know what? I haven't the faintest clue, and neither do you. I don't know why being made first brings headship. But God says it does. He gives the order of creation as a reason for headship. And just that's simply it. He doesn't explain why. He just says, that's the way it is. Because the man was made first, then the woman. And the man was not made for the woman, but the woman for the man. That's the reason God gives. So why head covering and headship? Why should there be this outward sign in head covering? Why is this in the Bible? The answer, or the two answers I've given you so far, is because man reflects the glory and the image of God in the area of headship and dominion, but the woman doesn't. She reflects the image or glory of man, therefore man's glory must be covered when worshipping God. And the second reason is because man was made first, and the woman was made for him. And then here's the third reason. Why is this in the Bible? Why is there this outward sign of agreement or disagreement with God's order of headship? Well, that's the answer's in verse 10. Because of the angels. That's the third reason, because of the angels. For this cause, he couldn't be any plainer. For this reason, this is the reason. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. For this cause, for this reason, what does it mean, power on her head? That simply means a sign of authority. A sign of being under authority. Or in my words, it's an outward sign that she agrees with God's order of headship in verse 3. And the reason why she has to do that is because of the angels. Now you know that the Greek word that's translated angel means messenger. And it sometimes means spiritual beings, as in angels. Most of the time it means that, and sometimes it's used for pastors or messengers, the angel in the church at Sardis and the angel in the church at Thyatira. Those letters were written to the angel in that church. It was, of course, the pastor, because you can't write to an invisible spiritual being. Sometimes the word angel means a messenger and can be translated as pastor or the angels, the spirit beings. And in this context here, it obviously means, as all most of the commentators agree, it's talking about the spiritual beings, the angels, the good angels. Because of the good angels. Wilson says this: God's good angels are present when Christians meet together for worship. Great care must be taken not to offend them by any impropriety. Such an offence would occur if women discarded the covering and thereby displayed their disregard for the station given to them by their Creator. In other words, if a woman displayed disagreement with God's order of headship, which he established at creation, through a lack of a visible sign of agreement with that order of headship, therefore she's showing disagreement with God's order of headship, why then would that bother the angels? Do you know why it would bother the angels? I'm going to give you two reasons. The first one's from I got from a book, and the second one I thought about. It would bother the angels because angels are God's messengers to the heirs of salvation. That's Christians. They're the messengers and helpers of the heirs of salvation. And good angels, they obey God's will and they expect others to do so. And they would obviously therefore find it offensive, because good angels are perfectly obedient to the will of God. They would find it offensive when God's people disobey God. And they're the helpers of Christians. And the other reason why the angels would care about this, why would it bother the good angels, is this. Well, maybe if angels see people disregarding God's order of headship, which he ordained at creation, maybe it reminds the good angels of the time when many of their own number rebelled against God's order of headship. They rebelled with Satan against God's order of headship. It's the same issue, isn't it? It was a headship issue. The devil wanted to be in charge. I will be like God, he said. And I would say that the good angels would be intolerant of rebellion against God's order of headship because it reminds them of Satan, the spirit of rebellion against God's order of headship. So that would be the two reasons why it would bother the good angels to see God's people disregarding and disagreeing with God's order of headship. They obey God, they expect God's people to, and it would remind them of Satan disregarding God's order of headship, which causes a big problem. So let me conclude and summarize so far. This passage teaches that God has set the order of headship in his word. Now you either believe it or you don't believe it. There's no middle ground. If you're going to make excuses about it, just admit you don't believe it. It's very plain in the Bible, time and time and time again. And you either believe it or you don't. It can't be explained away. You may not like it, and I may not even like it. I don't always preach things I like, but the Bible teaches it. God has set the order of headship in his word, and you can believe it or not. Head covering is the outward, visible sign of agreement with that order. If a man has his head uncovered in the public worship, he agrees with God's order of headship. If a woman has her head covered, it's the outward sign that she agrees with God's order of headship. And why? Why should women wear a head covering and men not? Why is this? Well, let me give you another wee reason, just throw it in. Because the Bible says so. That should be enough reason for any Christian. I shouldn't have to give the other three reasons. Because the Bible says so should be enough. But you see, there are some people, and it doesn't matter that the Bible says so, they don't really get too hot up about breaking what the Bible says. They'll only get all hot up and hot under their collar about some tradition that the Bible doesn't even speak about. They'll get all hot up about that. But see, plain things that the Bible teaches, you can break that all they want and it'll never bother them. They don't get hot up about that. Because they break the Bible all the time. It should be enough that the Bible plainly says so. If you want the other three reasons, they are these. Why? God tells us why. Because man reflects God's image in the area of headship, verse 7, and the woman doesn't. The other reason, man was made first, and he needs the woman. That's the other reason. And the third, because good angels don't like God's order of headship or the signs of God's order of headship being ignored by God's people. Now, I want to note one thing as I'm closing, and I want you to see this. This whole issue of headship and head covering being the sign of God's order of headship, I want you to note that when the apostle is here arguing his case to the Corinthian Christians, he's arguing his case about headship and head covering with the Corinthian Christians. When he's doing that, when he's giving them the reasons why they should do what he says, where does he rest his case? What does he appeal to convince the Corinthian Christians to do what he says? Does he say to them, let me read verses 5 and 6. Does he say, every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For, verse 7, does he say, for, Corinthians, in your culture, women walk around covered all the time. Is that his argument? Does he say, therefore, because in the Corinthian culture, because women walk around with their head covered or veiled all the time, therefore you should do it in the church. Is that his argument from culture? Is that what he says? Does the apostle appeal to Corinthian culture at all? Not even once. Not once in the passage. He never appeals to culture because this is not a cultural argument that was limited just to Corinth. The apostle, when he's arguing here, appeals not to Corinthian culture, but verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, he appeals to creation of the world. The order and purpose of creation in the book of Genesis is what he appeals to, not Corinthian culture, as some ignorant moderns like to make excuses about when they say it's just cultural. Creation is not cultural. You see, men and women, the teaching of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11 on headship and the outward signs of it is nothing whatsoever to do with Corinthian culture. It's not even mentioned in the passage culture. Creation, it's a creation ordinance. It's not cultural at all. It's a creation ordinance that has stood since the beginning of the world. Because the man was made first. That's the reason, not culture. God set the order away back then, and God set the sign of that order in his church. And it's plain. And he anchored that sign in an appeal to creation, not an appeal to Corinthian culture. So don't you come to me and try and give me the cultural arguments. A lot of rubbish. Absolute nonsense. It's not an argument at all. It's just plain stupid. This passage is not a cultural passage. It's a scriptural passage. This is what God says in Scripture. And we're going to finish this subject next week. But the Word of God plainly says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven like a skinhead. For if the woman be not covered, let her be shaven. If she will not be covered, shave her hair off. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, and you don't cover God's glory in worshipping God. But the woman is the glory of the man, and man's glory must be covered in worshipping God. For the man was not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And for this cause, for this reason, ought the woman to have power or the sign of authority on her head because of the angels." Amen. And thank you very much for your attentiveness this morning.